Okay, so like I said, my name's Rooster. I don't know if anybody of you know me, but it's probably a good idea if you don't, and if you do, you didn't get me busted. So so this is going to be about Windows 2000. No size or whatever about Windows 2000 from all the people who don't understand it. Have anybody ever heard of encrypted file system? Okay, so let's go into it. Okay, encrypted file system is a method that Windows 2000 uses to basically take and encrypt whole directories and keep encryption there. And it provides additional confidentiality in your files. It uses symmetric key encryption in conjunction with public key technology. How many people here are familiar with public and symmetric key encryption? Okay, so for the benefit of those who do not understand it, symmetric key means basically private key. If you've ever heard of DES, Digital Encryption System, or whatever, that is actually a symmetric key, which basically means both parties have the one private key and they share it. RSA, if anybody's heard of that, is actually a public key encryption, which means each person has two keys, a public and a private. The public one you make available to everybody else. The private one you hold for just for yourself. When you want to encrypt data, say this person wants to encrypt data for me, they use my public key to encrypt it, but then I use my private key to decrypt it. And that's how the security is kept there. Is that clear for everybody? That's, you know, encryption in a nutshell for you. EFS ensures that only the owner of the file can access the contents. Surprisingly, EFS is easy to use and administrate. EFS provides key recovery to allow delegate recovery agent accounts the ability to decrypt files. So how many people here have legitimate jobs? Just out of curiosity. How many of you have to use Windows at work? Oh, that's a lot. Okay. And how many of you people are moving up to Windows 2000? Okay. All right. So this is, I think this will be helpful for you because I found encrypted file system to be pretty slick, actually. And it helps. I think it makes a big difference. How many have to run it on a laptop? Okay. It protects privacy. Only the user who encrypts the file and what's called the recovery agent account can actually decrypt the file. And encrypted file system is effective for securing data on a shared computer. Even if the machine itself is compromised, the user cannot read the file. Take ownership. Anybody ever use, if you've seen that particular designation, allows you to take ownership of a file. Even if you gain ownership of a file, if you do not have the proper key, you will not be able to read the file. If the computer hard drive is taken, or if you have a laptop or something like that, and they take your hard drive and they put it in another system, and they try to read the files under that, it won't work. They'll just see garbage. They'll see the encrypted file, basically. Encryption, decryption, recovery, it's all like if you just click on the file. So what's one of the interesting things about Microsoft products, especially about Windows 2000, you don't know what the hell's going on. It just does it, right? The operating system does everything. So for instance, in say like, a Unix or something, if you wanted to decrypt a file, you have to hit like decrypt-d or something like that in the file name, and that will actually show you the file. Not in Windows. You just click on the file, and all of a sudden it's decrypted for you, which is kind of slick, but if you're not paying attention, you may not notice it was decrypted or something. You would have no idea. So it's something to be very careful of. It actually, as a side note, Kerberos works exactly the same way. If you're running Kerberos on your network and you log in and you just do your normal login, it's using Kerberos as long as nothing's broken. But there's nothing to tell you that Kerberos is broken. It'll just revert down to NTLM. So it's a good thing to keep eye on those kind of things, make sure everything's running correctly. Integrates with NTFS. You have to use NTFS. You cannot use FAT or any other file system, but it integrates smoothly with it. If you've created an NTFS directory and you move a file into it, it's automatically encrypted. If you move an encrypted file into another NTFS directory, it stays encrypted. So there's something called the recovery agent account. What the recovery agent account is it's basically the really bad administrator dude who can unencrypt your files for you. And Windows doesn't give you an option to not have one. So if you're encrypting your files and you think you're hiding from your boss, you're wrong. because you can completely have access to it. The only thing you're protecting against from people outside the company or other like peons inside the company. The recovery account, it's usually the administer when you first set up encrypted file system and certificate services, actually, the recovery agent account is the first administrator that was ever made. So when you set up your domain controller, it's the administrator of that machine. It is the recovery agent account. These accounts are issued recovery public and private keys. And I don't have a whiteboard, so I'm not going to be able to show you, Jack. But I'll kind of go over the file a little bit. In your all your heads, so you have to picture this. And you can designate different recovery agents. In fact, it's a recommendation that you don't want the administrator to be recovery. Oh, go ahead. You have a brief thing on how to get radio?
I have some knowledge memorized.
You mean like where websites are, or do you mean like actual stuff?
Websites, a little bit of personal experience information.
If you have time, it's fine with me. But we'll see when the next person comes in, because unfortunately I had to start late. And this stuff's so fascinating. So they may have like booed you off the stage or something. Yes? I haven't really noticed once any. I actually used, when I set mine up, I put it on like a P200 with 64 megs of RAM, and it didn't make any difference at all. Mostly because the actual encryption method is with a symmetric key, a bulk symmetric key. So the CPU load is minimal compared to other encryptions. Of course, that also has, but it's the same thing as PGP, so it's not like it's all that different. Any other questions? Okay. If you attempt to configure EFS with no recovery agent, EFS will not work. It will actually fail to actually encrypt the file. Basically means you need to have two keys on your machine to do it, yours and the recovery agent's. Which I think probably a lot of people think that sucks, right? Well, okay, except for the people here who are like CIOs of their company. To be able to encrypt a file, you need to have write permissions on the file. The encrypted file system is actually it's a attribute change of the file itself. So to be able to change it, you have to be able to write to it. You don't even have to be owner or anything. You just have to be able to write to it. In fact, it's actually a great denial of service attack. If you have write permission to the machine, encrypt all the files, and then they're screwed. In fact, if you're really slick and you do it right, you can encrypt some of the system files. Then nobody will be able to log on the box again. That's very nice. I didn't tell you that, though. So, to be able to actually encrypt the file, it's quite simple. These are the steps. Select the file in Windows Explorer, click Properties, click the General tab, and then click Advanced. Select the Encrypt Contents to Secure Data checkbox, and then click OK. And that's it. It is officially encrypted. If you are encrypting a directory, you are given a choice to apply only to the folder or apply changes to the folder, subfolder, and all files. Pretty straightforward. Decrypting a file is just the opposite. You go back to the same spot and you uncheck that box. And then you can go away and the file is fully readable again. But as I said, you don't have to do that just to read the file, because if you have the key, so if you were the one who encrypted the file, and you double click on whatever file is encrypted, you will automatically be able to see it. Sure. Yep. So let me see if I can get a little background here. Windows has kind of gone with this whole mode of public key infrastructure, which is a big marketing gazoo word to get everybody's rocks off. But basically what happens is whenever they set everything up and they set a user up, you all get a certificate, which is basically your public key, and you get a private key. And it does all of that behind the scenes for you. And then when you actually want to, and you can request certificates from the certificate server and all stuff like this. But when you first start EFS, when you first say, I want to encrypt the file, it goes out and checks to see if you have a certificate that is EFS capable. And if you do not, it goes and fetches one for you. It doesn't require anything from you. Now, if you want to become a recovery agent, you have to actually go to the certificate server, request the recovery agent certificate, and you have to make sure that the person has permissions to actually get that. One thing about Windows that's kind of slick is, while they have 30 different certificates that the certificate server will hand out, you have to actually have permissions to them. So the administrator has to go in and just deem who is worthy to have one of these certificates. Let's see here. Oh, when a user moves an encrypted file, if the file is moved to Windows 2000 NTFS system, the SIP file stays the same, otherwise it does not. So other file systems do not support encryption, obviously, like FAT and things like that. So to actually be able to, if you actually take a file and you like move it to a floppy disk, the operating system will automatically decrypt it. So you have to remember these things when you're like sharing files around. If you move it to a FAT directory, or you move it to CD-ROM, it will automatically encrypt it. As another encrypted file. Wow, I never tried that.
How about just the base question?
The mail one? That's what I'm thinking. I've never actually tried that. That's a very good question, though. My guess is that I would decrypt it because it would start to move it off to a non-NTFS partition. But there's a chance it would keep it, and I don't know. I haven't tried it because I don't have enough mail machines in my office to make a mail server. I have to try that. That's a good question.
If it does, I believe when it's setting it as a mail attachment, it's actually a copy. And so if you're copying it, you've got the right to try to copy it over there, then basically it decrypts it and gives them the decrypted version.
Well, actually, but if you copy an encrypted file, it stays encrypted. Even the copy is encrypted. Right. But if you move it to the correct mail server, like an Exchange server, that's an NTFS partition. So its possibility will actually stay encrypted, but I don't know. I'm talking out my ass now. Well, actually, so I'm guessing actually that it would decrypt. And I'm not sure why exactly, but and the reason why is I'll come to this a little bit, is how you actually do recovery of files that you need to take off the machine. And they've got this whole ugly process to do that. And they didn't say to email it. So my guess is it actually does decrypt. I'm not sure why or how. I'll have to actually try it, but I will try that. Any other questions? Oh, go ahead. Oh, you mean the encrypted file system? No, you authenticate when you actually try to access the file.
Each time,
yes. Delete it? Other than, what do you mean? I'm not sure I understand the question. No, if you decrypt it, it just decrypts the file, that original file. Absolutely, yeah, okay. Yeah, you would have to re-encrypt the file again if you wanted to do that, which is why you generally don't want to play the game of, you know, decrypting it just to read it. You only decrypt it when you want to give it to somebody. Well, that depends on the application. If it's a Word doc, then yeah, you probably have something in your temp directory, or you might have something in your page file. So, but EFS does not create a copy of its own. Yeah. So it stores the certificates on the central Active Directory domain controller. It will, not on your search server. It stores it on your domain controller. which has a location for you. Your search server is all that, it just coordinates everything. Your private keys are stored on your local machine in a place called the encrypted store. And it's this directory structure that's fully encrypted. Yeah. No, I should have specified that. It's a Windows 2000 NTFS partition. It uses DES-X. I don't know if you're familiar with that, for the actual bulk encryption. And I think I'll talk about that a little bit. And it uses RSA base for the public key. Really? Because I had it, didn't get it to work. Really? It broke for me, but everything breaks for me. So I think it's probably just me. Most of the stuff, I read the documentation and I go, yeah, sure, whatever. So, and I actually do it, and the stuff that works, I'll talk about with you. Yeah. Well, so what will happen is nobody will be able to get access to the file because they won't have the keys. Right? I mean, if you take your if you put your file and you put it on an NTFS partition that has a public share, for instance, and you got it all out there, and somebody tries to access it, they won't be able to get to it. The only way they'd be able to get to it is a little tricky, and we'll get into that a little bit, on how to have let other people access it, how to get the recovery agent to access it. Yeah, I mean, basically it would work for anything trying to access the file because it's encrypted. And so if you don't have the key, you can't read it. Anybody else? Okay, cool. Good question, so thanks. Okay, so it's kind of tricky to know what a person can do with an encrypted file and what a person can't do. So what a person who actually encrypted the file can do is he can do anything with the file. But like I said, be prepared to know that if you move it to a directory that does not support encrypted file system, it will not be encrypted anymore. Now, what about a user who does not, or who is not the person who encrypted the file? What can he do? Even if he's the administrator of the box, what can he do? So he can delete the file. There's nothing you can do to stop him from deleting him other than try to take his permissions away. But if he has write permissions to the file, he can delete it. He can take ownership of the file. And if he has the full control of the file, he can take ownership. He can rename the file. And that's about it. All those things do not affect the encryption at all, and they are completely allowed. He cannot move the file. He cannot copy the file. Because being able to do that actually attempts to decrypt the file and move it and then re-encrypt it again, which the operating system will block and not allow. Let's see here. Copying file. When you copy a file, I don't know if I mentioned this, it actually is encrypted when you copy it. The copy is encrypted as well with the same keys. If you want to access a file that you have encrypted on another server, you have to make sure that you have what's called Trusted for Delegation Set, which allows keys to be passed around. I don't really recommend doing it this way, so we won't talk about it because it's like, you know, tell kids how to touch burners. Okay, so I don't think anybody mentioned, so we'll bring it up here, so what do we do about backing up our data? Are you saying that if I back my stuff up, that all of a sudden it's unencrypted? Well, the answer is no, because fortunately Microsoft thought of that. If you use Windows 2000 backup and you use it to back up an encrypted file system directory, no matter what kind of media you put it to, it be a floppy drive or if you back it to tape or an optical drive, it will stay encrypted. The only things that will do this are Windows 2000 backup or anybody who makes a backup system specifically for Windows 2000. Basically, anybody who uses the Windows 2000 backup APIs, it will actually stay encrypted. And actually making a backup of the file is a good way to send it to the recovery agent if you had to fire some loser who had encrypted a bunch of your files as a denial of service attack. Let's see here. Oops. Okay, like I said, EFS is a symmetric key encryption, and it has a public key encryption. The file encryption key is a symmetric bulk encryption key. It is used to do the actual encryption of the files. The FE key is encrypted with the user private key for protection. The encrypted version of the FE key is stored with the actual file and is unique to the file. So what that means is basically the system itself, the what's called the crypto API, which is their new crypto thing, whatever you want to call it, it's an API, generates a private key. It generates a It generates a symmetric key, a bulk symmetric key. Basically means that this key is used for encrypting a lot of stuff. And it's which makes it kind of fast, but also not the greatest encryption in the world. So the way to get around this is they take that key, and then they encrypt it with the user's public key. So then it's actually protected with nice RSA public key encryption. And when it does that, it's completely unique to the file. Which is good. We don't care about that right now. Okay, so when the file is encrypted, the crypto generator supplies at least two file encryption keys. One using the user's public key, and one using the recovery agent's public key. They're placed in the what's called the data decryption field and the data recovery field. So basically what happens is, so you have a private key for the user. Like I said, you're the user, you've got your private key there. You also have a private key there for the recovery agent. And when you say encrypt this file, it goes to the crypto API and it says, I need a file encryption key, which then generates the initial key for the symmetric bulk encryption. It takes that and then it generates the other keys based on the public key of the user and the recovery agent. And you can have as many recovery agents as you want. Yeah. Yes. Actually, encrypted FEKs are unique to files.
So if you have a large file, one of the files
that are a large collection of files, they have 2 million files, they have 4 million. They're small. What's that? They're like 8 bytes per file.
8 bytes.
I think. So the FEK header itself, so the way it works is you have a, I was going to go over into the diagram of an encrypted file, but you have a data field, like picture this, you know, bar, that I drew a bar, a box like this, and I wrote data inside it. And I made a smaller box on top of it, and I put DRF for the data recovery field, and another smaller box for the data decryption field. So this, basically the FEKs are like headers for the files. So they're about 8 bytes each, I think. Now if you have a, what really gets ugly is if you have like 1,000 recovery agents, but you really shouldn't be doing that. But does that answer your question? Okay. What's that? Oh God. DES is 64-bit, I believe, and the RSA is 128. The RSA base is 128, I'm pretty sure. Okay, I can't remember. I guessed. I actually did. I never looked at the file and then looked to see how big it get. But you're right. 128-bit would be twice that big or three times that big, actually. 16 bits or 16 bytes. Yeah, per, and that's per file encryption key. Okay. Does that make sense? I ran over that kind of fast about that, but I want to make sure that that's at least semi-clear for everybody about the way the two keys interact with each other. Okay, cool. All right. Okay, the main components of encrypted file system are the crypto API, the EFS service, the EFS driver, and the EFS file system runtime library. And I guess another reason why you're not paying for this particular talk is because, or about paying, you know, $2,000 is because I don't have a whiteboard to draw the diagram for you. I feel bad. I drew a pretty picture of how this all interacts with each other. So we'll talk about the components, and I'll try to give you an idea through talking about how they actually interact. The crypto API is the interface for all crypto operations in Windows 2000. Whenever you do some kind of crypto operation, it is done through the crypto API. And actually, you can't do it any other way. It's used to generate the file encryption keys and the public key pair that is used to encrypt and decrypt the file encryption key. It is required to use crypto API. You cannot swap it out for another API, another somebody else's crypto API. That's not allowed. We'll have none of that. EFS uses DESX, a variation of DES. How many people are familiar with DESX? How many people are familiar with DES? So DESX is basically DES that's been XORed. You laugh, but it actually works. Because what it does is it's a slick way of getting past export restrictions. Because it's three low-level encryptions. Like they're all 64-bit or something like that. But it makes this really rock-solid thing, and it can be exported at the same time. It's actually kind of slick. EFS uses the base CSP. Now, I find that to be a problem. The base cryptographic service provider is basically the lowest level of encryption that Windows 2000 will support. It will not allow you to use cryptographic service provider. It doesn't allow it. It only uses the one. I've heard rumors that that's going to change in the future, but nobody tells me squat, so we'll have to go with what we have now. Okay. The EFS service itself. This is the part when you do, start, run. The EFS service calls the crypto API to generate the file encryption key, and it generates the two data fields. The EFS file system runtime library. It's actually called by the EFS, and it actually reads, encrypts, and saves the file. So it actually, the runtime library runs in kernel mode. And what this does is it actually interacts with the NTFS driver itself when you want to encrypt or decrypt or read or do anything with the file. And the EFS basically passes the data to the file system runtime library, who then passes data to the IO manager and NTFS driver. So one of the problems that, as I think he brought up, is what about copies of the file? For instance, a page file. So a page file is basically your memory, and it's a big, nice, clear text piece of data. What's encrypted there? Are my keys stored in memory? What happens? And the answer is the keys are not stored in memory. They're actually stored in what's called non-paged pool memory. This means basically that it is not stored in an unencrypted place ever. Well, other than the RAM itself, and that would be difficult to get at. But the encrypted files are. They are stored in the page file. They're stored in the temp directory or whatever place your particular application uses to put things. So it is unencrypted. It's going to be a problem if your drive is ever taken, because most systems who have a page file, if you do not set it to flush your page file, it keeps a huge, however much RAM you have, 128 meg or whatever, page file actually still on your system. So it's always a good idea to have that turn to not allow that. You can actually configure a group policy to clear the paging file every time the computer is shut off, and that is always a good idea. Let's see here. Okay. Better hurry. As stated before, encrypting a file requires... Why the hell did I put that in there? I don't know. I know I did not do that for any of you. I'm sure you get this. Okay, so if you're actually going to run encrypted file system, here's some things that I got together that are the best ways to do this, and I pulled this from my rear and from the resource kit. So this is what I think is a good idea. Encrypting my documents, as obviously this is where you save files generally with a Microsoft application, and actually most other applications, third-party ones. You want to decrypt my documents, so you don't have to actually think about it. You'll automatically have your files encrypted. You want to encrypt temp, because as I said before, too many applications use it, and it's unencrypted when it moves to temp. So you want to make sure that it's an encrypted directory. And I actually want to point out here, when I said that when you copy a file, it encrypts it, something about how it does it in temp, like it doesn't actually copy it. The application itself creates a new version of it, and it doesn't get encrypted automatically. So it's a good idea to lock down temp. Wait, I got it right here. Export private keys for recovery accounts and store them safely. And then don't use the recovery agent account for anything but recovery data. So basically, your recovery account is very can be a very devastating thing for anybody to get a hold of. So you need to do the kind of things that keep it out of people's hands. You can export it to a floppy, but then you have to have a password on that. And then, but you can store it in a locked location, have an offsite that you move it to. You know, if you're a big company. If you're a big company, you know about this, about having a secure off-site location to store things. It's a good idea to do that, and it's a good idea to rotate your recovery agent. It's a good idea to not have the same recovery agent. It's a good idea not to have one recovery agent for your entire company. You kind of split out the delegation, and you get a few in a bunch of different areas, and you rotate through them. Not to have one person do it all the time, or one account. Don't destroy your recovery certificate. So, for instance, if you move to another person or another account to be your recovery agent, don't destroy the old keys, because you won't be able to get access to files you encrypted with that keys if you do that. Keep them around for a long time or until you're sure you're done. There's an RSA folder. Don't rename it. I'm not even going to tell you where it is. Don't search for it. You rename it, everything breaks. So if you want to break everything, it makes another nice denial of service attack. But that's bad. Okay, after you set up your domain, change the default recovery agent as soon as possible. Designate two or more recovery agents per organizational unit. See here, what's important? You know all about the exporting private keys, blah, blah, blah. And that about covers it. Does that make sense to everybody? As quick of an introduction I could do before I ran out of time. Let's see. We have a couple minutes for questions if anybody has any questions. Sure, go ahead. No. Unfortunately not, because Windows 98 sucks. And don't think Windows Millennium is going to be any better either. Oh, absolutely. Anybody can use a crypto API. It's totally available to everything. A little bit louder?
You just said that you shouldn't rename the RSA folder.
Right.
Earlier you talked about that somebody who has right permissions could rename any folder.
Well, no, not true. Not true. If you have right permissions to the file, you can rename the folder. But RSA you don't necessarily have right permissions to.
You know who has right permissions to that?
I don't think I have one on this computer. I think it's administrators and domain administrators. No, you can use it on a standalone, but you have to set up a certificate service and everything so you can pass out certificates. And you could set that up as a standalone as well without a domain. Okay. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, you lose encrypted file system. Although you can reinstall and that'll come back. It doesn't hurt the keys at all, but it uses that where it's actually where it stores like the cryptographic files. And you had another question? Listen. Oh no, there's no dumb questions. Only dumb people. Yep, absolutely. Which is interesting. It's actually a good question because that means it has to build new file encryption keys and all the other stuff, right? Because you change the size of the file, the checksums change, everything changes. But yes, it does. Okay, any other questions? Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I'll try to make them available. Sure. What's that? Where will I put it? I'll try to either have a place off of defcon.org that they are, or actually, my personal site is on attrition.org. So I may try to put them out there as well. And there'll be a link from defcon.org, though. No matter where I put them, I'll make sure I put something on defcon.org. Actually, and they will already be available soon from blackhat.com. So it's because that's where I did it. Okay. Is that it? I'll make sure everybody... Well, thanks for coming, and I hope this made your life easier.